What makes you itch? What sort of a situation would you like? Let's suppose, I do this often in vocational guidance of students. They come to me and say, well, we're getting out of college and we haven't the faintest idea what we want to do. So I always ask the question, what would you like to do if money were no object? How would you really enjoy spending your life? Well, it's so amazing, as a result of our kind of educational system, crowds of students say, well, we'd like to be painters, we'd like to be poets, we'd like to be writers, but as everybody knows, you can't earn any money that way. Or another person says, well, I'd like to live an out-of-doors life and ride horses. I say, do you want to teach in a riding school? Let's go through with it. What do you want to do? When we finally got down to something which the individual says he really wants to do, I will say to him, you do that. And forget the money. Because if you say that getting the money is the most important thing, you will spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living, that is, to go on doing things you don't like doing, which is stupid. Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way. And after all, if you do really like what you're doing, it doesn't matter what it is, you can eventually turn it, you could eventually become a master of it. It's the only way to become a master of something, to be really with it. And then you'll be able to get a good fee for whatever it is. So don't worry too much, somebody's interested in everything. And anything you can be interested in, you'll find others who are. But it's absolutely stupid to spend your time doing things you don't like in order to go on spending things you don't like and doing things you don't like, and to teach your children to follow in the same track. See, what we're doing is we're bringing up children and educating them to live the same sort of lives we're living, in order that they may justify themselves and find satisfaction in life by bringing up their children, to bring up their children to do the same thing, so it's all wretch and no vomit. It never gets there. And so, therefore, it's so important to consider this question, what do I desire?
Well, there's a philosophy they should teach in schools. That was Alan Watts with his take on life. Hello and welcome to Show 7.
We're still on the payroll.
First song you heard there was a girl called The Brook. Just got her on the internet, some interesting mellow kind of stuff. And then we had Oliver Arnold with, I think that song is called Fawn. Another interesting guy from Reykjavik.
Try this. Just stand up for a moment. And take three steps forward. One, two, three, and stop. Where at this moment is the first step you took? And where is the next movement you're going to make? Hold it. Be still. Next movement hasn't happened. Past movements aren't here. Where are you? When are you? What is the position of the universe? When is it? Where is it? take another step. Is this a new now or the same old now where you always were? The next step is not with your feet, but with your imagination. Recall the first step that you just made. Now, when are you? Back then or still here? Don't think a word, just feel.
Thank you. forever go away. That'd be hilarious.
Door 6, left to rot on Cyborg 9. He was trying to find his way to Planet X, but stepped on a landmine. He only lost his third leg, but he'd never beg or put anybody down. And behind the great walls of China, underneath the galaxies, he had a studio, and he wrote this song. Oh, Daddy, don't you know I'm gonna get some soda pop? Oh, Daddy, don't you know I'm gonna have some candy pop? Candy bars, ice cream, sodas, and licorice, and jelly beans, and ice cream, and soda pop. Yeah, shoo-wop-a-bop-bop, shoo-wop-a-bop-bop. Singing all day and singing all night. Nothing makes me fright. Looking for a game to play. Ain't gonna play any other way. Hey. Well, a message to all you haters. there. Every time you stop and stare at things you don't really understand, and you think you own your own land, you might, but there ain't nothing else nowhere. There's never been a thing, any place. There isn't any face you've ever seen. There isn't any dream that you know. I'm something else from nowhere. I come to your house scared. I'm gonna tell you now, right now. You've nothing more to fear but fear.
Bauhaus with Double Dare off their album Mask, I think. The Brook again with the Stray Cat Straw, and then Daniel Johnson with Jelly Bean, and Daniel Johnson with The Spook.
Will you please stand up and put your hands on your hips with wrists upwards? Now, let's all just laugh.
got the feeling now.
Shut up, Al Green.
Oh boy, that'll. What? All right, man. God damn.
Song called Dead Bodies. Then we had an unusual one from Al Green singing I Wanna Hold Your Hand, the Jimmy Cake with Deathfall Priest, and the last crazy guy there was the amazing Elephant Man with a song called I Can't Go Outside. That's from an album of one man bands, and I think it's called Attack. Where have we got here now? Attack of the One Man Bands. I think I'll play something else from that. It's kind of interesting.
Sit down. sorrow, discreetly hide their secret abodes. The most fearful hide deep inside, and venture not there on Yuletide. For in vision of their hollow hills, the music holds. Oberon Phil is surely recommended not, for fear of death in fear of rot, voices ignored. Ill luck, disaster, the one reward. Violating sanctity of Superman's hill, so sad. Love lies there still.
Oh,
the last pile of songs we had was Philip Roebuck, Jackass Blues, Chuck Violence, Introducing Chuck Violence, and Junior Disorder, Angry Heart. They're all from the Attack of the One Man Band album. Then we had Oliver Arnold again with Undan Hula. We had Bauhaus with Hollow Hills. We had Cream and Jesus doing The Cure's A Forest. Then we had The Cure with A Reflection. And that's the end of it for tonight, folks. See you next week.
Who is it that knows there is no ego? And you must realize, you see, that this is a problem created linguistically. I explained that language based on the sentence, composed of subject, verb, and predicate, contains the hidden belief system that events are started by nouns, by things. And so it's very important to understand that in the real universe, there are no things at all. And this startles people, because we think of the universe as the sum total of things. But when you go into the question, what you mean by a thing, you ask children this question, what do you mean by a thing? And they'll say, well, an object. Well, I said, you've just substituted another word that doesn't tell me anything. Well, they can come back if they're very smart and say, what do you mean by anything? I got once in a class of high school kids an Italian girl who said a thing is a noun while she was getting warm. A thing is a think. It's almost the same word. It's a unit of thought in the same way that an inch is a unit of linear measure, or a pound a unit of weight. And so in various languages this comes out. In German you've got ding, thing, denken, to think. In Latin, res, thing, reor, to think. So when we reify, that means to thingify. And A.N. Whitehead used to talk about the fallacy of misplaced concretion. Thingifying what isn't there. But it's easy to understand this, although it's a little bit of a shock to our common sense. For purposes of description, we must break the world down into some sort of units. Who is it that knows there is no ego?